Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Eco-terrorism, the new jihad. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol Lieberman, your terrorist therapist. And today we're going to be talking about something that is particularly timely because on November 7th to the 18th, there is going to be the UN Climate Change Conference 2022. And it's going to take place in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt. And what that is it is the UN Climate Change Conference of the Parties is what it's called. And it's a global summit on climate change. Now, this is the 27th time that they have been meeting. So this is COP27. Now, the people who attend this conference are people, you know, countries all over the world, those who have ratified the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC, oh God, and that was a treaty that was agreed to in 1994. So each year, the countries come and they talk about what needs to be done, and each country makes a commitment to their individual targets, which are known as nationally determined contributions. And so each year they, you know, have to report how close they have gotten, how much progress they have made to their, you know, commitment of their contribution towards climate change. Now, the countries make a commitment to working towards being climate neutral by 2050, limiting global warming to well below 2 degrees Celsius and trying to get to below 1.5 degrees Celsius, as well as commitments in terms of the reductions in emissions of greenhouse gases. So basically every year, well, they haven't done it during COVID, they missed last year, but theoretically every year they come together and get their report card, kind of. What is eco-terrorism? Let's start with that. The basic definition of eco-terrorism is that it's an act of violence which is committed in support of environmental causes against people or property. So it's an act of violence towards people or property that is in support of environmental causes. Now, as I've been doing research in this, it turns out that there are a lot of different groups who consider themselves as eco-terrorists or climate activists, or, you know, the definitions amongst the groups and what they do and how they, you know, what they are particularly focused on and so on is very different. Now, the FBI defines eco-terrorism as, quote, the use or threatened use of violence of a criminal nature against the people guilty of destroying the environment. I love the way they say that, people guilty of destroying the environment. That is a little bit of a biased interpretation, but in any case, a violence of a criminal nature against the people guilty of destroying the environment or their property by an environmentally oriented subnational group for environmental political reasons, or aimed at an audience beyond the target, often of a symbolic nature. Now, I'm going to be talking to you. The reason why I'm talking about it today is, first of all, because of this oncoming conference, United Nations conference, but also because there have been a number of terror attacks, so to speak, echo terror attacks, particularly in the UK and in Europe, as this conference is approaching. They are trying to make their voices heard to make sure that, presumably to make sure that a lot is done at this conference, you know, stringent kinds of policies and so on are made to protect the environment. Now, I am all for protecting the environment. Let me make that clear. However, I am not for eco-terrorism. I am not for anything that uses violence to get a point across. And so let me just continue and tell you about this. Now, there are various thoughts or opinions about when the term eco-terrorism was coined. Some say it was coined by the 1960s. Others say it was first introduced in 1983 in an article where it was defined as, quote, a crime committed to save nature. Now, I don't know. It seems like if you're trying to save nature, you shouldn't have to commit a crime to save it. I mean, it just kind of goes against nature, human nature, nature of the world, and so on. It does not make sense. Anyhow, not that terrorists, jihadist terrorists, radical Islamist terrorists make sense, but now there's also, and we'll get to this a little later, there are similarities, or as I said, these different things, these groups are kind of melded in some ways and different in other ways. And eco-terrorism comes from the radical environmentalism movement, which did come in the 1960s or started in the 1960s. And it is connected to, for some of these groups, the belief that capitalism, patriarchal society, and the Industrial Revolution and its subsequent innovations were responsible for the despoilation of nature, the ruin of nature. So there is a kind of socialist connection to some of these groups, and you'll see that when we talk later about the in the Netherlands, the farmers who are being their farms are being taken away and their cattle and so on. And there are political things under this, which, you know, in a sense, make it more like terrorism. But all these different groups are not necessarily admitting to that. Okay, now let's talk about eco-anxiety. Eco-anxiety. do you have eco-anxiety? I don't have eco-anxiety. I'll tell you, there's one kind of eco-anxiety I have. But eco-anxiety, like ecological anxiety, in other words, also called eco-distress or climate anxiety, has been defined as a chronic fear of environmental doom. Another definition that some people state is that it is, quote, the generalized sense that the ecological foundations of existence are in the process of collapse. Some people use interchangeably the term eco-anxiety with climate anxiety. Some people like to treat those terms separately. And what's important to note is that although a lot of ecological disruption results from climate change, some is caused by direct human activity, such as deforestation. So in other words, now I'm not saying that there isn't such a thing as climate change or that in some ways the environment is being destroyed, like the rainforest and so on. But I think that most of this is hysteria. Now, so I've made myself clear here. And in particular, that is why I think it is not right to do terrorist activities, terrorist attacks, in pursuit of getting everybody to become obsessive compulsive about what their footprint. Now, what really perpetrated, or the beginning of this echo anxiety, started with Greta Thunberg. Her having talked about her own echo anxiety. Now, Greta Thunberg is a Swedish environmental activist. She said that she found out about the environment, problems with the environment and so on, when she was 8 years old in 2011, and that made her depressed. And she persuaded her parents to change their lifestyle and make choices to reduce their carbon footprint. Now, as a psychiatrist, this is not, in my opinion, her depression and so on was not altogether for after she heard about the problems in the environment and, you know, being worried about the doom that, you know, is going to happen to the earth. Her mother was an opera singer and her father was an actor, and they were flying all around to do their gigs, their performances. And by getting her parents to adopt lifestyle choices to reduce their carbon footprint, it meant that they couldn't fly around to do all these different performances. Now, duh, you don't really have to be a psychiatrist to figure this one out. She wanted her parents to be home with her. Now, she has done a lot of things. You know, she started by spending her Fridays outside the Swedish parliament. She held up a sign that said, in Swedish, school strike for climate. And then that started a whole, she got a lot of attention for that, and that started other students doing the same kind of thing. They called it Fridays for Future. Then she talked at the 2018 United Nations Climate Change Conference, and then this has caused ripples throughout the world of students copying her, and copying her both in terms of their echo anxiety and in terms of what they were willing to do to make their point. And, you know, the ultimate of this, which we're going to be talking about, is the echo terrorism that people, particularly younger people, now granted, you could say, well, of course it's going to be younger people because they're going to be around longer, and they're, you know, falling apart of the earth and the resources and everything that's supposed to happen with climate change and so on will affect them more. Okay, but still, it is not an excuse for terror attacks. Now, so echo anxiety. So I was telling you about what that is, and it apparently is growing, and that's largely because not only because of Greta Thunberg, but also the media in general. Because, you know, showing these pictures on television are very sensational, get people to tune in. Now, echo anxiety is not in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which is the dictionary that psychiatrists use. It is not officially a diagnosis, but it relates to anxiety, stress, sleep disturbance, nervousness, and so on that people may feel if they get themselves all tied in a knot. Their undies tied in a knot because of being afraid that the world is going to end. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I am much more concerned, more anxiety about Putin right now than about ecological issues. Then there's such a thing as echo guilt. Echo guilt is guilt that arises when people think about times they have not met personal or societal standards for environmental behavior. So, like, for example, when you go to a hotel and they have waste paper baskets where you have to use one, you know, they're in the top of it is in different shapes, or not just in hotels, but all over the place, when you have to, you're supposed to throw certain things and certain things. And I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just me, and maybe you're thinking I'm terrible, that I'm not doing more for the environment. It's not that. I just feel that, I'm not saying we should pay no attention to the environment, but I do think that it has gotten to a point of hysteria that is doing more harm than good. Now, I'll tell you what gives me echo anxiety. I live in California, And Gavin Newsom, the governor, has decreed, it's an executive order that by 2035, we will eliminate in the state of California the sales of internal combustion engines. In other words, he wants to eliminate all gas-using cars. Now, new ones. You can't buy new gas cars, or that's his plan, after 2035, or even, you know, slowing it down now. It's starting to try to get the companies to make more electric than gas and so on. Now, the question of can you still drive gas cars after 2035? Yes, if you have a car that was bought before 2035. And then also if you could get a used car. I think I'm holding on to my gas car for now. So when we come back, I'm going to tell you about all of these terrorist attacks, eco-terrorist attacks. There have been a number that are attacking art, classical, multi-million dollar works of art that are in museums. And I'll tell you who's doing it, why they're doing it. And then there are also attacks that have been happening that don't relate to art, some really crazy kinds of things that are being attacked, all in the name of preserving. I hope you see the irony in this, you know, all in the name of protecting the earth, protecting the world, when in fact they're attacking some of the most precious things that humanity has made. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about eco-terrorism, the new jihad. Now, I promised I was going to get into these terrorist attacks that the eco-terrorists have been perpetrating, particularly that it has been flourishing recently as the lead up to the United Nations Climate Change Conference that's happening in November. So I've divided this into attacks that relate to artworks, masterpieces in museums, and attacks that are not related to art, all different things. Okay, so let's start with the art. First of all, there is a group called Stop Oil Now. And before I get into what they have been doing, they've been very, very bad little people. naughty little. Oh, I know. I'm probably turning some of you off. Why are they bad? It's important to save the earth. Yes, yes, yes. I love the earth. Do you know my fifth grade science project was backyard insects and butterflies, for which I won second prize in Queens, New York. So I've been into the environment since elementary school, okay? Going to camp and everything else. So it's not that. It's just that I don't approve of what they've been doing in terms of these attacks. Okay, so now before I get into what this group has been doing, I want you to think about this. This is the organization, Stop Oil Now. Now, what's so ironic, and you know, this whole thing is filled with irony. What's so ironic is that we are dependent. We were in the United States. We were dependent on the Middle Eastern countries. Terrorist countries. We were dependent, beholden to terrorist countries for oil. And we, during the last, before Biden, shall we say, we were becoming more self-sufficient in terms of oil, which was a good thing because the real jihadists, the radical Islamist terrorists, it is not good to be dependent upon them, beholden upon them for oil, because they don't like us, right? They want to take over the West, of course. And so the idea of stopping oil production and being vulnerable to countries that do have, I mean, another example right now is Russia. Russia is stopping or limiting, or, you know, there's this whole big issue of Europe trying to get, a lot of countries in Europe depended upon Russia for oil. And of course that, you know, is a problem right now. So, you know, getting back to jihadists and so on. So really, it's very ironic and very short-sighted and so on to think about, for these eco-terrorists to want to get the politicians to stop oil now, the name of their organization. So what they have been doing recently, in particular, has been trying to destroy great art to make a point. Now, what they did was they threw a can of soup at the Van Gogh's painting, Sunflowers. You may well know that painting. It's an incredibly beautiful painting. And it was hanging in, they threw tomato soup, a can of tomato soup, on his painting at the National Gallery in London. And they glued themselves to the wall where the painting was. And they wrote, one of their tweets was, for Just Stop Oil, was, is art worth more than life, more than food, more than justice? See, here we get to the social justice thing. The cost of living crisis and climate crisis is driven by oil and gas. Now, so why would, if we don't make oil, if they're saying that the cost of living crisis and climate crisis is driven by oil and gas, then it does not make sense. Then if there was less oil and gas, there would be more, well, they have a whole, just, you know, they have their own logic for this. But in any case, they have taken a page out of the Taliban's book, not just the Taliban, but ISIS and Al-Qaeda terrorists, who have been destroying antiquities. Now, I trust that you know that, that they have been, that's their thing, destroying the history of the world, of the West. And so to throw, you know, to destroy this painting. Now, fortunately, there was glass over the painting and it was protected, but the frame got somewhat damaged. I mean, that can be fixed, but the painting itself is the most valuable part. So their demand is that the UK government halt all new oil and gas projects. And they also they've been gluing themselves to the frames of great artworks. Now, the point of this is publicity, of course. They were gluing themselves just to the frames or to the walls, and now they've upped the ante, and they've been trying to destroy the art itself, just like real jihadists. For example, the Taliban destroyed artifacts like the Buddhas of Bamiyan, and that was part of the cultural inheritance of all humanity, just like Van Gogh's painting is. So basically they're attacking humanity itself with these, you know, distorted thinking. Another tweet from Just Stop Oil is, new oil and gas will lead to crop failure, food shortages, and the collapse of law and order. Human civilization as we know it is on the verge of collapse. I mean, it's all this drama, you know, all these threats. So they're demanding less of the very things that would make their supposed worries disappear, because more oil would mean more affordable food and energy. Okay, so that's one of the one of the arts. Let's see. Here's another artwork that they tried to destroy. They have been also attacked. They also attacked Claude Monet's painting, Les Mules, which is the haystacks. They threw mashed potatoes at this painting. And fortunately, that this, you know, the Monet painting was also protected by glass. And then they also glued themselves to a 500-year-old copy of The Last Supper. So they're picking, you know, they're picking artworks that really people love, you know. I mean, not to mention that they are incredibly valuable, but that artworks that people will be, will gasp at, that it was almost destroyed. This is considered disruptive activism. You know, it's another name for it is tactical innovation. Another name for it is terrorism. When marches and sit-ins no longer draw media attention, then some social movements invent new ways to get people talking about them. Now, let's see. Okay, let me tell you about. Then, now those climate activists that threw mashed potatoes on the Claude Monet painting, they are called the Last Generation. That's their group. And this was in a museum in the German city of Potsdam, just outside Berlin. And they made a video of it. They went one step further and they made a video of their attack of this painting. And they put it on Twitter, and they said, we make this Monet the stage and the public the audience. If it takes a painting with mashed potatoes or tomato soup thrown at it to make society remember that the fossil fuel course is killing us all, then we'll give you mashed potatoes on a painting. I mean, seriously, folks, this is so childish. And, of course, destructive. And, you know, just I hope museums all over are doing more to protect what they have, the paintings and everything else. You know, before COVID, when we were having more terror attacks, jihadist, real radical Islamist attacks, I and as we will again soon in America and in Europe, I was very concerned that museums weren't taking enough, doing enough to protect the antiquities, the paintings, the whatever it is that they have in the museum, because the idea of terrorists, radical Islamist terrorists going in there and destroying these things or stealing these things, I mean, that was a very real threat. It still is a very real threat. We are going to be, as I keep mentioning, we are going to be seeing more real jihadist, radical Islamist terror attacks in the not too distant future. Now, let's see. Oh, yes. Now, you know, another irony is that these works that they are attacking, I mean, this is so ridiculous. And so scary. It's not ridiculous. I don't mean to make light of it. But in, for example, the sunflowers or the haystacks, these are pictures of nature. So why would you pick those kinds of paintings to attack? I mean, you know, maybe they're trying to say that this is what's happening to nature. It's like a metaphor, but they're not claiming that. It seems like they're just trying to pick paintings that will get them attention. So now one more painting. They have Just Stop Oil again. That group glued their own head, two people glued their own head to a painting of girl with a pearl earring. Now this was, the girl with a pearl earring is a 17th century painting by Johannes Vermeer. And one of the activists glued his head to the glass in front of the painting. And then, well, actually, one person stuck his head to the painting, like literally stuck with glue, which was protected by glass, and the other person stuck his hand to the wall where the painting is hung. A third person threw an unknown substance on the painting, the museum said, and said, our experts immediately inspected the painting. Fortunately, it wasn't damaged.
The thing is, here, more and more paintings are being attacked, and how long before they start vandalizing or attacking pieces that aren't behind protective glass? One more, art attack that I want to tell you about. This was, again by Just Stop Oil. This was, where is this? Oh, here. This was in London's Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. Also Just Stop Oil. Two Just Stop Oil protesters smushed cake in King Charles' face, you know, in the wax statue of King Charles. There were four of them, actually, who smushed cake in his face, and they were wearing, as usual, Just Stop Oil t-shirts, and they took video of it, and it is said, the video looks frighteningly real, with Camilla on one side of Charles and William on the other side. And they were arrested. In these cases that I'm telling you about, they've been arrested, but what's going to happen to them is not clear. And the reason why, as usual, for Just Stop Oil, so they took videos of it, and that's why, of course, they're able to promote it more, you know, aside from the media that took pictures of it when it happened. Now, apparently, they're saying that, they're trying to say that the reason why they did this, now, I don't know that this is true, but a representative of Just Stop Oil said, that last year at this UN meeting that is now going to be happening soon, Queen Elizabeth said, quote, the time for words has moved to the time for action. The science is clear. The demand is simple. Just stop new oil and gas. It's a piece of cake. So this is the reason, supposedly, why Just Stop Oil put cake in the face of Charles, of his statue. Now, I don't know. I have trouble believing that I really like Queen Elizabeth, and I have trouble believing that she would say that to Just Stop Oil, new oil and gas. Anyway, the issue is with King Charles, we're going to be seeing what he does. He was a very big environmentalist. I'm not saying he was a terrorist, but and then he said when he became king, he's going to now not promote his causes, because as king, you know, you're not really supposed to do your own personal causes. But for the queen's funeral, he did, you know, there was a decree issued, and presumably it came from him, that people who were coming to the funeral, dignitaries, had to use means of transportation that were good for the environment. So we'll see just how long he is able to not promote his cause in terms of being an environmentalist. All right, when we come back, I will tell you about other attacks of these eco-terrorists and that weren't in relation to art and were to different, they did it in different ways. And again, some of the politics that might be behind, and then I'll talk about the Dutch farmers and some of the politics hiding behind some of this. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking about eco-terrorism, the new jihad. In this segment, I'm going to tell you some of the other things that some of these groups, these eco-terrorist groups, have been attacking, the terrorist attacks that they've been making, that aren't related to art. I just described some of the ones that related to these masterpieces in museums, but then they're not confining themselves to that. So for example, one other thing, and this is I'm talking about things that were done in recent months, as a lead up to the UN conference in November. So there was a group, again, Just Stop Oil. It seems that Just Stop Oil is perhaps one of the most, violent of, you know, they're going to greater lengths than some of these other groups. So one of the things that they did is they stormed onto the Formula One track at Silverstone. This is all from the UK. They put countless lives at risk, and they went on to a racetrack, in other words. There were six terrorists, six eco-terrorists, who went on to the racetrack, and they went in particular to what's called the Wellington Strait, the fastest point of the track, before sitting down during the opening lap. Now, can you believe this craziness? Do you see how dangerous that is? Like, making the race cars stop to avoid hitting them? I mean, this is insanity. Now, fortunately for them and for the fans and so on, there was a crash. I mean, it's not fortunate that there was a crash, but there was a crash by an Alfa Romeo driver. And so they stopped the race for the crash, you know, to deal with the crash. And that is what stopped these eco-terrorists from being sliced into 100 pieces. And endangering fans, marshals, drivers, all at risk of injury and death. Now that's terrorism. If you remember the diagnosis or the definition that I said at the very beginning, that is terrorism. That's violence. And they've also blockaded oil supplies. They destroyed petrol stations, which cost the police millions and stopped them from solving murders and other violent crimes. There are people and articles experts. I mean, you know, people looking at this and calling them socialists. I mean, as I said at the very beginning, that there is a connection. Now, let's see. There's also a group called the Extinction Rebellion and another group called Insulate Britain. And yet the media kind of describes them as activists rather than common criminals. On the BBC, for example, one of their reporters said, quote, way more risk of death with climate change to everyone. Oh, well, no, that's what, yeah, right. This is they're trying to say that the media is favorable to these activists, to these eco-terrorists. And so, for example, the BBC, one of their reporters said, quote, way more risk of death with climate change to everyone than there is attempting to delay a motor race. Well, really, if people would have gotten killed. Let's see. Another group shut down a roadway called, oh, there was a judge, yes, when some of these people came before a judge, and he said he was inspired by Insulate Britain protests. Insulate Britain, he fined them over shutting down the M25, that's a big highway, by gluing themselves to the motorway and a police car. But he didn't give them any jail time. He said he was inspired by them. Then I love this. In the Daily Mail, which is one of my favorite papers, they said, if we just shrug off this wanton criminal behavior, the UK risks becoming like parts of the US, where it's become a depressingly common sight for entire city centers to be boarded up thanks to the threat of hard left protests ignored by the authorities. Okay. Then another example of an attack. London eco-terrorists target 7 gas stations. Pumps are vandalized and forecourts are blocked. So this is in the UK too. More than 50 environmental activists from Just Stop Oil are obstructing gas stations and abandoned pumps throughout central London. They started at 6 in the morning. Supporters of Just Stop Oil sat in the road with banners in some spots to obstruct traffic to the gas stations. In some places, groups traveled from station to station deactivating gas pumps by smashing the display glass or painting them before sitting down and awaiting arrest. Here's another example. They are always coming up with creative ideas. There was a 2022 Paris Motor Show that was dominated by electric vehicles from various car brands. But even though, you know, you'd think they'd like that, a group of eco warriors, fanatics of the Extinction Rebellion, went on a protest. They held up banners and chanted slogans. They sat down in front of the cars and glued their hands on the bonnets, the hoods, of the exotic supercars. Some individuals from the group even glued their hands and smeared black paint on the bonnet of a Ferrari Testarossa worth $180,000. The group called for an end to advertising. Here we go with the socialism. The group called for an end to advertising individual ownership of private vehicles. See, it wasn't, they were more concerned in this particular attack with not so much with the gas, because a lot of the cars were electric, but with the ownership of private vehicles. Let me start that sentence again. The group called for an end to advertising individual ownership of private vehicles and instead to improve public transportation. They mentioned that promoting personal vehicles as transport of the future is absurd, considering the current fuel and electricity prices. Extinction Rebellion is described as a new wave of campaigners using civil disobedience to draw attention to their cause. there were 11 activists in this particular attack who did what I just described at the car show. And there was another attack on a think tank building in London. The Tufton Street building was sprayed with orange paint and loaded into a fire extinguisher. It was sprayed with orange paint that was loaded into a fire extinguisher during the demonstration. So they're attacking all different kinds of things. Now, just let me finish with the Dutch farmers, because I don't know if you've, presumably you may have heard about this, but it's not getting as much attention as it should. In the Netherlands, the government is trying to have the country's livestock in an attempt to limit agricultural pollution in the Netherlands. So in other words, they're trying to, how can I say this politely? They don't like the methane that is coming out of cows from the front and the back. So this all started in 2019. The demonstrations, the Dutch farmers' protests, started in 2019, where they were livestock farmers, where they were using tractors to block roads. Let me clarify something. I am not saying that these Dutch farmers are eco-terrorists. I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying that, is it not that the government here, while under the guise of trying to do something good for the environment, is really trying to do something that relates to socialism and relates to taking away individual property and that kind of thing. Kind of like the cars, but this is with land. I mean, how can you say that taking away farming and livestock is doing good for the environment when these are the people? I mean, that itself is nature and the environment and making the best use of the environment and so on. All these ironies, these things that don't make any sense, and they're not being seen for what they are. Anyhow, so the Dutch farmers started protesting, and because they want the farmers to give up their livestock and to limit agricultural pollution, as I was saying, the digestion basically of food by the cows. I'm trying to be so polite here. I say to give the cows vino. And then they won't have to worry about these things. And in fact, I am not so far off, because scientists have been coming up with things, different things that can be fed to cows that can still make them, produce milk and be okay for consumption, but that wouldn't make as much methane from their digestive system. I'd love to take out a sky rider above the Netherlands and just say, give cows Beano. stop threatening farmers. So there are some people who are calling this for what it is. And such as they're saying, the Dutch government's attempts, this woman, let's see, where are we? For example, there is someone who did an interview and said that the Dutch government's attempts at reducing agricultural pollution is part of their contribution to the Great Reset conspiracy theory. The farm, quote, farmers are hardworking, God-fearing, and especially self-sufficient people that are just standing in the way of their globalist agenda. Now they want to evict the farmers from their land. Oh yes. So another person, Dutch person, Vladinger Brock, said that the government intended to evict the farmers from their land to house new immigrants. I mean, this is all, you know, you have to look these days, you have to look beyond, I mean, it's bad enough, what it is at face value, you know, these terror attacks by eco-terrorists, but you also have to look behind the scenes for what the politics are behind some of these things. I mean, it's bad enough they're destroying beautiful paintings, things that we enjoy, farmers' livelihoods. I mean, all of this, and this is supposed to, we're supposed to believe that this is all for the good of the climate or the, I mean, really, when next time you hear about something that's being done for climate change or, you know, the environment or whatever, please, please look behind it and see what else may be the real reason why this is happening. Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism4kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.